You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Ever wonder why we so often fail at New Year's resolutions? What could you do differently this year to set strategic goals you can actually follow through on instead of making the proverbial commitment to lose 10 pounds that's gone after a week? In this episode, we talk about how you can give yourself the gift of follow through this year.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Real estate fan, thanks for tuning into the episode today. And this is the final episode of Real Escape Investing. In the show today, we're going to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions, why they fail, and we're also going to get into why this particular chapter of the podcast is coming to an end and why we're going to have a new face, a new brand, a new reality in 2026. So the topic that I want to discuss today is the New Year's resolution cycle. And this was something that I don't want to say that I dreaded it. I've always been somebody who kind of likes goals. But I have to say the whole thought process around New Year's resolutions and why it is that they so often fall flat in the first weeks of the year has always been something that I'm a bit interested in. As you think about what you're going to be doing over the holidays and that conversation comes up around the dinner table, whether it's, you know, as some form of holiday celebration or if it's more around the New Year's period, there's always this like vague thing that comes up where people are talking about, oh, what are your New Year's resolutions this year? And so maybe it's that feeling of, I need to invest more, I need to save more, I need to lose a bit of weight. And then that inevitably ends up falling flat by the time February runs around. And so why is that? And more importantly, what can you do to fix it? So in today's show, we're not just only going to be talking about ways in which you can fix that vague New Year's resolution fever. We're also going to be giving you an investor's blueprint for goal setting that you can apply over this holiday period to make 2026 your best year ever. And we're going to use that strategy and I will tie it into how this is the concept for our biggest announcement ever, which is a rebrand of the show and the fact that we are branching off of the Master Passive Income Network in 2026. But before we dive into that great stuff, I do want to just remind you, like I do every week, of how is the best way to consume this content and what is really the purpose of it. I record these shows week after week because my goal is to help you, investor who's trying to scale, make smart decisions to improve your financial future and also to increase your real estate holdings to make your portfolio bigger and more profitable. And so with that, my goal is to help you take appropriate strategic action. And this is actually a really crucial time of the year to be doing that because it's in this sort of holiday reflection period that we look forward to the coming year and set ourselves up either for success or if we fail to plan, we plan to fail, as my basketball coach used to say. But so with that, what you can do to take action and to do something right now over this holiday period that's going to have a net positive effect is you can plan to attend some of the great events that we're having at the Equity Builders Club in 2026. The events calendar is up on our website, so you can head over to equitybuildersclub.com/calendar or events to book your tickets and see what we're up to in 2026. And of course, at this special time of year, I'm also offering free one-hour strategy calls if you would like me to have a closer look at your situation and think through some of the moves that you might make in 2026 to have this year be a great one for you in real estate investing. Other than that, you can also grab we're back actually on January 24th, which with our first event of the year, you can grab a ticket for that on the Equity Builders Club website, and you can use my promo code, so ML5, that's Mindful Landlord, like my book that's available on Amazon, and five for $5 off. So set yourself up right away. Come and join me on January 24th in Montreal for our first networking event of 2026. And go ahead and book the free strategy call. I still got a couple of spots left open not before the beginning of the year, but over the holiday period. And so let's talk really quick for a minute about the big news that I have for you. And that is that after these incredible 2 years of partnership with the Master Passive Income Network and with my great friend, Dustin Heiner, the Real Escape Investing podcast adventure is drawing to a close. And what we're going to be doing January 2026 is that we are officially relaunching with a more independent and focused show that is called the Equity Builders Club podcast. And the purpose of that is to be able to focus more specifically on investing in Montreal, in Quebec, in my local market where I operate, and to really be very specific about the people that I want to help with on their real estate journey. And so the Master Passive Income Network, which is more based in the US, is a little bit more broad-based and wider. And I want to, with the content, be able to zoom in really specifically on some of the issues that face us in Montreal. And so our strategy has become to be more focused, more specific, and to build something tangible to help people build equity with a specialized focus on Canadian markets, and particularly here in Montreal and Quebec, which is my home base. And so our new mission in 2026 is going to be to allow the Equity Builders Club podcast to be more precise, more niche, and to deliver a maximum of value directly to you, listener, who is interested in investing in the Quebec and Montreal market. So why does my network move have to do with New Year's resolutions? So the answer is everything. A resolution is a wish. It's something like, oh, I resolve to lose weight, or I resolve to invest. It lacks clarity and it lacks a why. It lacks the specificity and the metrics that really become the needle movers, because when we get really specific about what we want to do, and when we have very specific metrics for what we're doing, it also allows us to track that into the future. And a strategic goal is really an action plan based on a deep why. For me, my goal with rebranding the show is not just, oh, let's launch the Equity Builders Club podcast by January 2026. It's a very specific thing to say, no, I'm getting very specific about wanting to help local investors in my market build equity and increase their real estate holdings, and also perhaps to get some more personal satisfaction out of what it is that they're doing. And so this is a much more specific, measurable, and clear reason why, as opposed to having a more broad-based show that appeals to a North American market. And so in this episode, we're going to be diving into the exact mindset shift that you need to make to stop being a New Year's resolver and start being a strategic equity builder in 2026. Perhaps that's just a good place to begin transitioning over to talking about your strategic goals and why it is that investors with strategic goals do better, and that's going to be my way to launch you into 2026. And so before I go ahead and give you my personal framework for turning a loose idea into a concrete investment plan in 2026, let me just tell you that there's nothing you need to do specifically to refollow the show or go over somewhere else. We're just going to be moving the feed for this show, and the branding will look a little bit different, but you just keep your subscription to the show and you will continue getting updates for it into the new year. And then let's just really move into the topic for today, which is why it is that New Year's resolutions so often fail, and why strategic goal setting is more likely to have you following through on the things that you want to accomplish in this brand new year. So the first thing to do is, before we jump right into the meat of this and I just brain dump you everything I know about goal setting, I want to just talk about taking the time to really celebrate whatever happened for us. And, you know, it's so important to take the time to look back and really spend some time in gratitude. Although we do talk about this more than we used to in real estate circles, before we jump into getting all gung-ho about what we're going to do in the upcoming year, why not take a little bit of time, set some time aside to be quiet with yourself and to think about what were the trips, what were the highlights, what were the personal and family awesome things that happened, what were the business successes? Before I start plotting my goals for the upcoming year, I just like to make my highlight reel for the previous year that we just said goodbye to. And then this turns into a really nice segue, because it gets you super positive about what might happen in the upcoming year. And so what I try to do is to put myself into this frame of mind where I've just celebrated, and then I sit down and think,
1 year from now, what do I want to be celebrating? This can help to, you know, orient me towards some of the things that I would like to see happen this year. And it also makes sure that you're really aligned and that you feel like super celebratory and that you're beginning to visualize what might be possible for you in the upcoming year. And I'll have more to say about this towards the end of the episode when I talk a little bit more about how visualization can, you know, really help you manifest those goals in a way that is more concrete. But while we're talking about celebrating, these are two things that are often done together, well, best done together. So celebrate the past year and then think, you know, in a kind of magic wand way, what would I like to be celebrating 1 year from now? Then let's zoom over to something else. And before we get into the specifics of those, let's talk about the SMART goal setting method. Because one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions so often fall flat is because they don't follow the SMART goal setting pattern. Unfortunately, you know, New Year's resolutions or things that we think we're going to change, but that we don't have a very structured plan, you know, it's very likely to just put those things out to the universe as kind of like a wish, as opposed to something that we're actually going to act on. Before we get any further, I want to just take some time to review the SMART goal setting method so that as you are structuring your goals for the upcoming year, you make sure that you're running it through that filter, that SMART goals filter that's just so important. So let me just be totally transparent. It's not like the second I set a goal, it immediately tumbles out of my mouth in this SMART structure. Very often, I'll start with a goal that's a little bit more vague, and then by really forcing myself and being disciplined about how I'm formulating my goal, I force it and tweak it so that it fits that SMART structure. So what are SMART goals? They are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. So if we just look at that one by one, let's just review it real quick. I know we've all heard this before, but it's a good time to review it and then really make sure that those goals you've listed out for the coming year fit that method. So what are we saying when we pick a goal that is specific? If we put this into the framework of dieting, it means that, you know, dieting weight loss is always a question of the numbers that are on the scale. But what if you're talking about gaining muscle or changing your body composition or eating healthier? You need to make very specific claims, right? And so to just say, oh, I want to lose weight, that's like absolutely too vague. So by being specific, you are tuning into specific ways in which you're going to make that goal happen. And so we'll get into measurable, which is the next one, because you absolutely have to place metrics on your goals so that not only do you know what you're aiming for specifically, but you're able to measure your progress as you get closer to it. But so how is being specific different from being measurable? Well, measurable is when we begin to create metrics that are going to allow us to know when have I realized my goal and how can I track and measure that I am on track to get there. But being specific will be listing those ways in which I'm going to make sure that that goal actually happens for me. So I might say I want to lose 10 pounds by doing what? And so then I need to list those things that I'm going to do that are going to help me succeed specifically at my objective. So measurable, we already talked about a little bit. It's setting up those metrics that are going to allow you to track your progress. And so with dieting, it's super easy to, you know, measure your weight on a scale. It's a bit less easy, but still possible to measure your body composition by tracking fat and muscle mass and stuff like that. But sometimes it's just not so easy to make things measurable. And so you might have to do a little bit of mental gymnastics here just to see how can I track those things? Because when I'm, for example, talking about, you know, how can I measure specific behaviors? Like, let's say my goal is to be more present. I want to cultivate presence. So how can I track on a daily basis how often I'm being present? How do I know when my mind is wandering off? In order to set up a metric for that, I might do something like make a specific number of times that I want to do presence increasing activities in my week. So if I know that, you know, yoga or martial arts is a way that allows me to tune into the present moment by tracking the number of times that I'm doing that activity, it's going to increase presence. But so it's very difficult to say like, oh, how many times does my mind drift off in a day? It's not easy to come up with a metric for that, but I can track and I do have control over how much I meditate, how much I go to yoga, how much I practice martial arts, and that those are activities that tend to bring me into presence. I might also, you know, one of the other things I like to do to be present is when I walk my dogs in the morning. And so I have this kind of like 15-minute window when I really actually can track the number of times that my mind drifts off and how often I am present. So that's another way that I might set up a metric there. And then I can really check that and track it every day and then see how my progress is going. Now, super important that goals are also attainable. And so this means that, you know, if I want to completely, like, let's say I want to lose 40 pounds, right? Like for me, that's just not a realistic goal. Like given what my body composition is and what my total weight is, losing 40 pounds is just not a realistic goal for me. And, you know, if it was something else that let's say it was to lose even 20 pounds, like that's not something that I've ever done in my life. And to think that I'm going to do that in, you know, a 3-month time window or something, I'm setting myself up for failure. And so when you are picking goals, make sure that they are attainable in the amount of time that you have set up to do them, because this is a real way to generate frustration for yourself if you're setting the bar too high. Now, let's just take a minute to think also about setting the bar too low, because we want our goals to be lofty enough to force us to aim up. But there is also something to be said for picking goals that are perhaps just a little bit below what you know you can do in order to teach yourself to stack up those wins. And, you know, I think this is a moment where you really need to kind of tune into yourself and say, am I in this phase where I'm trying to build habits and where just activating my confidence is going to be more important than really having stretch goals? Because there are kind of like confidence building goals, which might be easier or more attainable. And then there are stretch goals, which are more difficult to attain in a certain time frame. And so as you are thinking about what you're doing and how that habit has existed for you in your life, you know, if you're an elite athlete and you're saying that you want to have some kind of record performance this year, okay, fine. Maybe that's a stretch goal. But if you're at the point where you're just trying to build that habit of like going to the gym 3 times a week, maybe that's the goal that you want to put there. Or maybe you want to put it a bit lower and be like, okay, I'm going to for sure go to the gym 2x a week. And in that way, I'm going to be sure that I'm actually checking those boxes and building that confidence. Then the next point is relevance. And so what is this aspect of relevance? So it means that whatever the goal is, I really need to be aligned with it. And I have to be wanting the journey and being willing to do the sacrifices as much as I actually want the goal. And I'm sorry to keep coming back to this like fitness and dieting points, but it's really just a great way where you can think about how that goal setting aspect really works. Because if you think about the relevance, like so many people, everybody wants to have 6-pack abs, but how many people who talk about getting cut actually want the deprivation, the tracking, the perhaps skipping social events, doing whatever it takes to get that 6-pack? And, you know, if I talk about myself, I do love fitness, but I've never been willing to make the sacrifice that it takes for me to get 6-packs abs. And so as you talk about the relevance of a specific goal, you need to think about what does that really look like in my life? And am I actually aligned with the things that I need to do to get there? And I think in real estate, this is like really also a great thing to think about, because we all, you know, would love to snap our fingers and have $1 million in cash in our bank accounts. We would all love to own 1,000 doors. But what does that actually look like in terms of the time trade-offs, the effort, everything that you would need to do to get there? And then I think that allows you to see how aligned am I really with those goals that I have set up for myself, to make sure that I'm not, you know, having goals that when I were to actually try to put that into a practice in my life, it would actually ruin the life that I'm trying to create. So super important to pick goals that are relevant. And then the last thing is making sure that things are time bound, because it's very well to be like, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds. Oh, I want to buy another building. But one of the ways that you can employ to really hold your feet to the fire is to make that a time bound goal. And so by you know, measuring things and then tracking the progress towards the end of that time period, it really forces you to get real and to get serious about manifesting whatever it is that's on your goal list. And so I guarantee you that if you instead do this smart goal setting methods and apply it to what you're trying to accomplish in 2025, it's going to force you to be a lot more serious than to just pop 3 New Year's resolutions out there that in the first week of January are already going to be thrown in the dustbin. So there's a couple of other things in addition to this smart goal setting method that I want to talk about in terms of how we set intelligent goals and just some things to be aware of. The first one of these is the outcome versus the habit goals. And, you know, when we have these like lofty stretch goals that are actually outcome goals, so like, let's say I want to win a world championship, or I want to, you know, own this many buildings, or I want to have this specific cash flow or net worth at a specific time, that is actually an outcome goal. The truth is, we don't actually have a whole lot of control of those outcome goals, right? The thing that we have controls of are the habits that we are going through every single day. And it is true that if you, you know, are tracking those habit goals and making sure that you're doing the things that would create the outcome, that's the only real control you have about manifesting something in the world. Obviously, you can visualize and you can, you know, make all sorts of decisions, but the leverage that you have on outcomes are habits. And so as you are making those stretch goals for the year, probably most of them are going to look like outcome goals. But then in order to bring that into everyday life and make sure that you're cutting it up into bite-sized chunks, really think about how you can break some of those outcome goals into the habits that you need to do. And this is where we talk about getting specific, right? Like in the SMART goal setting method, we talk about being specific. And so that is, how are we going to chop those outcomes into the habits that are going to manifest the outcome? Ultimately, you're aiming at that particular outcome, and it's the habits that are going to manifest that for you. So just to really understand, you know, what the leverage is that you have, and then couch your goals both in terms of outcomes and habits in order to keep you on track. So the outcome might be the thing that you're aiming at, whereas the habits are really the everyday actions that you're doing to make sure that the outcome comes about. Then, you know, the other thing that I like to talk about with this outcome versus habit situation is, you know, if you're thinking about how you're going to digest this massive sandwich, well, how do you eat that? How do you stuff that all into your mouth? Your mouth can't take the whole sandwich in one gulp. And so the answer is one bite at a time. And that is how we get a handle on some of those bigger outcomes. And then perhaps the final thing that comes into this is just to talk a little bit about visualization. And I got at that a little bit at the beginning of the episode when we were talking about celebrating past successes. And this is a technique that elite athletes use to try and put themselves into a frame of mind and guide themselves towards the performances that they need to do to win at their sport. But us, as people who are trying to, you know, attain goals over a certain period of time, one of the things we can do is to visualize what it's going to take for us to attain those goals, and then really visualize and feel those feelings ahead of time of what is the joy going to be? What are we going to do to celebrate when we attain those goals? And, you know, this is one way of emotionally anchoring and making those things seem real to ourselves. And so as you go through this process of, you know, setting those SMART goals, make sure that you set aside some time peacefully with yourself to visualize those celebratory moments. Perhaps take some time to visualize what it's going to look like having that successful year. And are you really thinking through what are the feelings going to be that are associated with attaining those goals and with taking the actions you need to take to finally get where you want to go? And this is really the proven method that you can apply in order to make sure that you follow through on some of those things that you want to see happen for yourself. And let's kick this year off with a bang.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing podcast. If you like the show, if you feel like it's constructive, please go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. Grab your friend, your husband, your kid's phone and sign them up for the show, as that helps us get the word out for more people. And you can also meet me in person at our next Equity Builders Club networking event in Montreal, where you can grab a ticket on our website, equitybuildersclub.com/events. And you can use my promo code ML5, that's Mindful Landlord, like my book, and 5 for $5 off to get a $5 discount. Until next week, real estate fan, I wish you a profitable week in real estate investing.